Well, family, in 2 weeks, this country is going to be observing now what is a national holiday. Anybody know what that national holiday is? It's called Father's Day. Ah! It's called Father's Day. That's interesting. So the country has recognized this day and has set June the 20th aside for all to remember and recognize fathers. Well, this morning, let's take a look at the subject about fathers. And the question I have for all of us is this: how well do you know your father? How well do you know your father? And this will also be the title for this morning's message: how well do you know your father? Now, the country is speaking of a physical father, someone who has fathered children and have either raised them or been a part of their lives. I'd like to ask each one of you a question: how well do you know your physical fathers, your biological fathers? Do you walk like them? Do you talk like them? Do you act like them? Last week, I had the opportunity to spend some time back in Indianapolis with my family, and it seems to me that the more I'm away from them, and when I come back, the more I see myself in them, and the more I see myself and my grandkids, and that's kind of scary. So I try to begin to set better examples, but it's too late. It's already there. They're walking like me. They're talking like me. My youngest grandson, I'm telling you, he is the exact mini-me. And that's just scary. But I love him to pieces. But what about you? Do you imitate your father? Now, unfortunately for me, I met my father when I was 16 years old. And that was at the death of my mother and the burial of my mother. I met him for the very first time back in their hometown of Greenwood, Mississippi. So I met him. And the first thing, you know, I wanted to know is if I looked like him, you know. And so for a 16-year-old, that was an exciting moment. But when I met him, it was this little short guy. And I'm looking down at him and I'm thinking, are you my dad? You know, but yet there it was, my father. So I was hoping to have that opportunity to spend some time with him, to get to know him. But right after we buried mom, he could no longer deal with her death, so he grieved himself to death. So 3 months later, he died. So I never had that real opportunity to get to know him. But yet, family, each one of us sitting here today, how well do you know your physical father? Do you have a relationship with him? Do you not like your physical father? Do you love your physical father? You know, this day has been set aside so that our nation would take a moment and recognize and honor dads. Let's take a look at the origin of Father's Day. I'm going to present two statements regarding Father's Day from two sources. The first one is going to be Wikipedia, and the second will be history.com. We'll take a look at the origin and how the recognition of fathers became a national holiday. Some of you may already know this, and yet I'll share this with those who don't know this. But it was just kind of interesting when I was researching, just going back to the origin. Sometimes we take a subject and we look at it and we move from this thought forward, but yet sometimes we have to stop and go backwards to see where this came from. I mean, it's just like, for example, when my wife and I got married, one of the things that we studied was the traditions of a wedding. Now, majority of the traditions of a wedding, do you realize, is pagan. Did not know that. A lot of the different things that we looked at we were shocked. So we said, okay, well, we both agreed. I don't want that a part of the ceremony. Nope, don't want that a part of the ceremony. Because we wanted the ceremony to be pure and right before God. And so there were a number of different aspects of that wedding ceremony that we said, no, we didn't want that a part of our wedding. So let's right now go back, and I'll share with you from Wikipedia the origin of Father's Day. Father's Day is a holiday of honoring fatherhood and parental bonds, as well as influencing fathers in our society. The Catholic countries of Europe have been celebrating this day on March 19th, and they celebrate this day as St. Joseph's Day. Do you know why they celebrate this day as St. Joseph's Day? This was new to me. I didn't realize this. Here's the reason why. St. Joseph's Day, also called the Feast of St. Joseph, in the Western Christianity, the principal feast day of St. Joseph, the husband of the Virgin Mary, and the legal father of Jesus Christ. It caught my eye for a moment that Joseph is the legal father of Jesus Christ. Since the Middle Ages in the United States, Father's Day was founded by a young lady by the name of Sonora Smart Dodd. Mrs. Dodd pushed for the recognition of Father's Day. Why? Well, because another female prior to this, back in 1908, had decided she wanted Mother's Day recognized. And that young lady, you remember, her name was Anna Jarvis. Anna wanted her mom recognized for her duties and the things that she had done over the years, her service, her contribution. And yet she wanted to use that platform with regards to her mother to want all mothers to be recognized. So Mother's Day, because of Mrs. Jarvis, became a day of recognition to moms. And that was in 1908. Also during that time period, Mrs. Sonora Smart Dobb, wanted fathers also to be recognized, and not just mothers. Now, Mrs. Dobb's father was a Civil War veteran who had been married, who was a widow, who had raised his family, and who had given a lot of his time to his family and raising his family and supporting his family. And so in 1910, Mrs. Dobb wanted fathers also to be recognized as she was working to have her father, who was a Civil War vet, William Jackson Smart, to be recognized for his devotion and selfless acts as a father. And so we see here in history.com, July 5th, 1908, in West Virginia, the churches sponsored the national event, which was to honor fathers. A Sunday ceremony where 362 men had died previously in the explosion in the Fairmount coal mines. But it was a one-time memorial service. They really didn't have the intent of moving this any further. But Sonora Smart Dobb, in accordance to history.com, she was one of six children raised by her father, who was a widower. And she wanted not only her father recognized, but she wanted all fathers to be recognized. Now, whether or not you have a great dad or a bad dad, this day was set aside for you to honor your father. So in 1910, we see President Woodrow Wilson had sent a telegraph saying that on this day, we will begin to honor fathers in the first part of June. Now, the Catholic Church in the United States, in Latin America, in Europe, still, to this very day, honor St. Joseph's Day. St. Joseph's Day because they recognize Joseph as the legal father of Jesus Christ. Now, is that true? Is Joseph actually the legal father of Jesus Christ? Should Joseph be honored? Well, Joseph is a father, so he would definitely fit in the category of one to be honored because he did have children. But what about Jesus Christ? Do we remember how this all came about? And so what we want to do is we want to identify the truths about honoring fathers. Now, we are told to honor our mother and our father. And who gave us these instructions? Well, we know God gave us those instructions. He gave it to the children of Israel. He gave it to Moses in the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20 and verse 12 show us that we are to honor our fathers and our mothers. Why? So that our days may be long upon the earth. So let's ask a question right here. At what point do we not honor our parents? Is there any time within the course of their lives, do we just say, you know what, I'm done with you? The sad thing that I see when I'm about going out and about, especially when in the grocery stores, you see some of the most rude and disrespectful children and how they talk to their parents. Who's at fault here? Is it the children or is it the parent? The children are acting out and reflect and being a reflection of what's at home. I live in an apartment complex, very quiet for the most part, and every time there's a little disturbance in our little community there, it's a mom trying to chase down a little kid, and a little kid saying some very, very ugly things to mom. And so the first thing I think is, let me go catch mom and give you a lesson in child rearing and watching the things that you say to your children. Those who work in the school systems would probably hear. I remember a story about a young man, and I forget who was telling me the story. This little kid was in trouble. And the little kid said some very bad things to the teacher. So the teacher called for a conference with the child's parent. And the parent came to the school, met with the teacher and the principal, and the teacher began to discuss the child's bad behavior and the child's name-calling. And the mother reprimanded the child for the things that the child said to the teacher and the language in which he used. Then the child lashed out at the parent and said, "You've called her worse things than what I've said," in front of the teacher, in front of the parent, and in front of the principal. Children have a very unique way of just being totally honest and transparent. Because if you're going to get me for this, then I'm going to tell on you. Because you said it first, and I just repeated what I heard. So that is a reflection of the parent. A very bad reflection of the parent. What characteristics of your father do you show? What part of your father's character is on display in you? In you. Are there good characters? Are there bad? Do you look like your father? Do you talk like your father? Last week I was reminded by friends who saw me and a couple of the girls together, and the first thing they said was, "Those girls look just like you." And of course the girls will, well, today they're not as defensive anymore. They used to be, "Oh, I don't look like him. There's no way I look like my dad." 2 weeks ago there were pictures. We have this throwback Thursday. There's one picture of me. I don't know which one of them have it, but I'm very careful about the things I say about them because I don't know who has this one picture of me that I just don't want on display. My mother promised that when I came to her and told her I was going to get married, that she will share that photo with my bride-to-be. And I wanted that photo, and I wanted that photo destroyed. But that photo hasn't been destroyed. And it's floating somewhere between four girls. It may have been copied and reproduced, and today photoshopped. So they've got me at a standoff, so I have to be careful. But I remind them, I have photos too that I have not shared with them. But yet, the interesting thought and the interesting comment was, your girls look just like you. And when I sit with them and I talk to them, and they're talking back to me, they sound like me, they act like me, they're my girls. They're my girls. My son, the same way. My son is a lot like I am, but he didn't want to be like me. He didn't want to act like me. He wanted no part of my character. And we're sitting around laughing because he worked so hard not to be like me. They pointed out to him, you are just like Dad. And he had to finally just break down and said, Dad, I'm just like you. I said, son, welcome to my world. But yet, what about you? What about the relationship you had with your father? What about the relationship you're having with your spiritual father? You know, this relationship with mom and dad is just a stepping stone of what God is like and how God is being revealed in the marriage and in the home. So I change and I ask the question a little differently now. Do we reflect our Heavenly Father? Do we look like Him? Do we talk like Him? We're told in the beginning that when man was created, we were created in the image of our Father. Do we look like Him? Do we talk like Him? Do others see Christ, our elder brother, living within us? Or do they see your physical father living within you? What do they see? Well, let's go back and let's address the conversation of Joseph, St. Joseph Day. And the reason they're recognizing St. Joseph Day is because Joseph is the quote-unquote legal father of Jesus Christ. Let's go over to Luke 1 and verse 26. Let's go back and be reminded about how this whole process came about. So there's no misunderstandings, and it's important, family, that we don't get tripped up in some of the things that we read that the world puts out, because we're also going to find out that Jesus Christ reveals the Father and Himself to those that He wills, to those that He chooses. And a lot of people don't understand it and don't get it. And so therefore, we have to be careful in our judgment. And I'm going to use the word judgment because that's what we're doing. We're judging others because of their understanding. But please understand that God has not revealed all things to all men. Luke 1, let's go down to verse 26. Luke 1 and verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee and named Nazareth, to the virgin betrothed who was engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, and Joseph was of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Verse 29, when she saw him, she was troubled at his sayings. What do you mean, you know, highly favored one, and the Lord is with you, and I am blessed among women? She was concerned, and she was troubled. And she says, what kind of greeting is this? Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid. You know, in the last message that we read, we talked about this a lot, where God was constantly reminding us not to be afraid. Don't be afraid. And here, Mary is being told the same thing. He says, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom," Gabriel is telling Mary, "there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I don't know a man?" You know, how can this be? I've not been with a man where I'm going to be pregnant with a child. I mean, I'm engaged to Joseph, but what are you talking about here? The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." And let's see something very interesting here in verse 37. First, she was told, "Don't be afraid," and then she's being told, "For with God, nothing's impossible." Nothing's impossible. And so this should be a lesson, just like it was to Sarah, for all you older women. Don't laugh when it comes to you giving birth to a child, because we've seen this has happened before. "Oh, I'm done." You might be done, but God may not be done with you. So you've got to be careful that you don't laugh, because with God, all things are possible. And family, we need to constantly be reminded of this at all times, because there are things that we talked about last week that you want to do. Well, it's up to you. You've got to have the courage and the will to step forward and to do the things that you want to do and that you desire to do, as long as it's in accordance to the will of God, because we want God to be a part of the whole process here. And so here with Mary, God is the one orchestrating this event. Verse 38, then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word." And the angel departed. The angel left her. So, for the most part, Mary was in acceptance of what was going to take place. "I'm going to conceive a child." Now, we're also going to take a look at Joseph here, because that weighs heavy on Joseph. He's engaged to a woman, and now what happens when he finds out you're pregnant? You know what would happen today if that took place. You're betrothed to this person here. And oh, by the way, before I say my I do's, I have a secret for you. Maybe I should wait till after the wedding, but in this case, it was shared before the wedding. Now, we as men, how would we take that? God will probably have to come and sit and talk to us. And if he doesn't, I'm packing my bags. I'm like, okay, I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy. Start crying, shedding my tears as I walk away so that she doesn't see me walking away, totally humiliated. But that's what we would do as guys. Yeah. But this is not what happened. Let's jump over here to Matthew 1. Let's go to Matthew 1. Let's pick up Matthew's account of this story and let's see what happened here. So Gabriel came before Mary and told her that she's going to conceive a child. And he told her what type of child this was going to be, his gender, and what his mission was. Now, Matthew 1, let's drop down to verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded of her to put her away secretly. But verse 20 shows us that while he thought about these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David." Here again, the angel is saying what? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what's happening here. He says, to take Mary, go ahead, you take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So it's not of a physical man. Someone else didn't come and rob you of something here. God has a plan. He has a plan. And the both of you are going to be used as a part of this plan. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And so here is the beginning of this process here that took place. The angel came before Mary. The angel came before Joseph to speak about how Jesus was going to come into the world. And for the both of them not to be afraid. And for Joseph not to be afraid and concerned about the fact that she was with child. Verse 22, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. I think we just sang that in one of our hymns. His name will be Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took to him his wife, and did not know her until after the child was born. And they did call his name Jesus. So, here we have Joseph being recognized by one religious order and saying that he is the legal father. Now, when we stop and look at this today, a man sees a woman. He wants to marry this woman. This woman's got a child already. So when those two become one, then he has to accept that child. And most men, the norm would be that he will adopt that child and allow that child to bear his name. But today in our society, that has really changed up a lot. And that doesn't happen as it used to be in the days of old. Half the time, the men don't want the children. And you see a lot of the issues and problems and concerns as a result of that bad behavior. But the norm was that this man would take this wife, this woman to be his wife, and accept that child and adopt that child and allow that child to bear his name. And so when that process takes place, what happens in the legal system? Well, through that adoption, his name now goes on that birth certificate as being the legal father of that child. The old father's name is removed, but somewhere in the archives, when you want to go to that history, ancestry.com, they still have that old document that shows, okay, you know what? You're not a Holmes. You were a Smith. And so those documents still can be found. But when that takes place, you now become that legal guardian, that legal parent. So Joseph became the guardian over this young boy named Jesus. Here is Mary, here is Joseph, and Joseph accepts and recognizes this child. But Joseph still didn't know what this kid was all about, because it took time for this to be revealed. And let's go find this account over in Luke 2. Luke 2. Now we see where the child grows up. He is now 12 years old. And Luke 2, let's drop down to verse 39. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth. And the child grew and began strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now let's drop down to verse 41, because here's where things begin to change with a 12-year-old boy. His parents went to Jerusalem every year for the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast, just like we do ourselves today. When it comes to taking the Passover, we gather ourselves together in accordance to the word of God and the instructions that God has given to us, and we keep the Passover. And so here Mary and Joseph had done the same thing. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. Now, here's a scary thought. You're leaving, and your son's not with you. Now, how did you not know that? I can tell you how, because I've done that. You have five kids. You do a head count. The head count, the number comes out right, but one of those is not yours. And you have left church. And one of yours has been traded. And you're going down the road, and someone says, "Hey, I think you forgot somebody." And I'm looking in that mirror, I see five heads. Nope, I've got everybody. Nope, you forgot somebody. Pull over to the side of the road. Who are you? And how did you get in our van? Well, we were playing in the van. I don't know if you saw the movie Home Alone, when they all took off and left, and they did that little head count. I knew that story very well, too, because that was me. I learned a lesson. You don't just do the head count. You see each head and make for sure those are yours. So I had to make a Batman U-turn and head all the way back to church to find one child. Still there with the parent of the child that I have. And I said, I don't know if this is going to be a good trade or not. But I guess it's right. I have to return back your child. So, I mean, it all worked out great. But here, in this account, here is Mary and Joseph. They're leaving. After they went up to Jerusalem, according to the custom, they finished the days and they returned. But Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother Mary, they did not know that Jesus wasn't with them. Verse 42, but supposing him to be in their company, but he wasn't. They went on a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. They went a whole day. Now, I didn't go a whole day. I did go back. I didn't go a whole day, but I did go back. They went a whole day. Now they're going back. Now, so it was, after 3 days, they found Jesus sitting in the temple in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who had heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Do you know what you've done? We've been looking all over the place for you. Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." Verse 49, and he said to them, "Why do you seek me?" Now, this is kind of perplexing and puzzling. What do you mean, why do we seek you? You're our child. You're our son. And Christ says, "Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" Well, wait a minute. Joseph is his father. Well, at 12 years old, Christ knew who his father was. He knows his dad. He says, "I must be about my father's business." But they did not understand the statement in which he spoke. They didn't understand that. And I'm quite sure that was quite disturbing to Joseph. Now, if Joseph remembers and goes back, he knows that he is not Jesus' biological child. He knows that, if he'd remember that. I know 12 years can go by and you can forget a lot of things, but some little light bulb should have came on somewhere in Joseph's head. But nonetheless, they were perplexed and they were puzzled and they did not understand what he said. Verse 51, then when they went down with him and came to Nazareth, and he was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. So Mary began to remember some things, I would think, and she knows what was about to take place. Jesus was increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with men. In favor to God and with men. Jesus was beginning to do the will of his Heavenly Father. You and I today must live our lives in accordance to the will of our Heavenly Father. The same Father. The same Father. The same Father that loves us also loved him and still does to this very day. Let's go over to John 5. Let's pick up. We're going to kind of stay in John's account. John seems to be the one who carried the most information when it came to Jesus and what Christ was doing. Others had their input, but we're just kind of going to focus on one, and that's John's account. John 5, let's jump down to verse 16. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus. So here he's getting older, and they sought to kill him because he had done things on the Sabbath. In accordance to them, he has broken the Sabbath. He has disobeyed the laws of Moses. But Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore, the Jews sought even more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he says that God was his Father. They had a problem with that. They had a problem with the fact that Christ said that God was his Father. So, even more so, they wanted to kill him. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. So the Father has been revealed to Jesus Christ. He knows his purpose. He knows who he is. He knows who his Father is. And so he cannot do anything without the Father and what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son does in the like manner. You know, we today, our children, imitate you and me, if we have children. They will imitate us. And as they get older, and as we continue to get older and have a part in their lives, they continue to look like us, talk like us, until God begins to change certain things about their nature. And that part of the nature is the nature where sin was more prevalent in their lives. God was showing you and me, as well as our kids, that the sin is what separates us from God. And so we find out the other reasons why Jesus Christ came. He came not only to save the world, but to reveal the Father to you and to me. Do we know, family, do we know the will of our Heavenly Father? Do we know what it is? How do you know? How well, family, do we know God? How well do we know him? Do we study things about him? Do we pray to him on a daily basis? Do we seek him, family, at all times in the course of our life? And as we continue to seek him, and as we continue to follow Jesus Christ, our ways should begin to look more like him. Our ways should begin to look more like him. Christ said, he says, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in the same like manner. Verse 20, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. You know, as a father, one of the things that I always wanted to do was to share with my son my talents, my skills, my abilities. The educational part, they have it. But the things about my character, you know, I wanted him to have that. But you know who exemplifies my character more than anybody? My kids? My girls. My girls. My son is a lot like his mom. The girls, unfortunately, are a lot like me. But that stubborn and bullheadedness, That's their grandmother. That is their grandmother. All day long. No, hands down. I fought that character when I was a kid. So when I see it in them, I know where that comes from. I know where that comes from. My grandmother and I used to butt heads all the time. But the father loves the son. And by the way, I loved my grandmother. I really did. I was a lot like her, but yet I loved her. And that's why many said that she and I couldn't get along, because we were too much alike. And that's what happens when you grew up in a household with someone. You can't help but to act like them, talk like them. The only thing I didn't do was chew tobacco and spit it over in the spittoon. Didn't do that. My grandmother, boy, that was a pew. Watch her do that thing. That is amazing. Never missed a beat. So the father loves the son and shows him all things, in verse 20, that he himself does, and will show him greater things than these, that you may marvel. For as the father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the son gives life to whom he will. So the father has given Jesus Christ the ability to have the will to do things of his own choice here. For the father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all shall honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. We are to honor Jesus Christ as well as honoring God. On the day of Father's Day, family, we are given a different direction here when it comes to honoring our Father. It is not that we're not to honor our physical fathers, because that's not the case. That's a commandment. God says to honor your mother and your father. At what point do you not honor them? Something has to change in their character where you will have to separate yourself from them. Something very evil, very wrong, and what they do goes totally against God, his commandments, and the will of God. I'll give you an example. Our company had hired a father and a son to drive separately. And we come to find out 2 weeks after we had employed these two individuals that these two individuals had shot up people in a nearby county and they had robbed a place. Well, when you do a background check, you'll find things out about guys that they don't think you'd find out. The father and the son, they were just alike. They were thieves, they were crooks, and they were running together. And so, knowing this and seeing this, now, if I were another child in that household and I witnessed my father and my brother doing those things, I could no longer honor my father. That's when that ends, because they are taking other people's lives, they're taking other people's properties, and God gives no place for that. He gives no place for that. So when do you stop honoring them? When evil has overcome them and is on display. You don't want to be associated with that. But yet, because you bear that name, people will look at you, oh, you're part of that family. But again, you do have a choice. Verse 24, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. If we believe in God, and we believe that God sent Jesus Christ, he says we will have everlasting life. Most assuredly I say to you that the hour is coming, and now is, verse 25, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him the authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. He is the Son of Man. Verse 30, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own, but the will, family, the will of the Father who sent me. Jesus Christ is letting us know that of his own, he can do nothing except the will of his Father. You and I today, we cannot do anything unless God's will is for us to be able to do the things that we do. We can seek God and we can ask God for help and guidance, and yet God will do it. He will do that. John 14, verse 9. Christ told the disciples, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." John 14, let's start up in verse 7. John 14, verse 7, "If you have known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him as you have seen me." Here is Jesus Christ telling the disciples, you know, he and his Father are one. And if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Because I do. I walk like him. I talk like him. I do everything like my Father. And verse 8, Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and it will be sufficient to us." Verse 9, Jesus said to him, "I have been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? All this time, were you not paying attention? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me?" Here's a question that he is asking Philip as well as the disciples. Because Philip was the one to step forward to ask the question, but you better believe the rest of them had questions as well. Here, Philip, you go ask him. So Philip goes out, and he asks the question. "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority." Jesus Christ is reminding them, what I do, I don't do on my own accord. I'm not here doing my own thing. I was sent here for a purpose and for a reason. And so therefore, I am doing the will of my Father. And if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He says, "But the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. What I do, I am doing in accordance to my Father's will." On our journey, do others see our Heavenly Father in us? Do they see our elder brother, Jesus Christ, being revealed in us? We just read where we have to not only honor the Father, but honor the Son. Now, is this an annual thing that we have to do, or is this a daily walk? Well, family, you and I know this has to be a daily walk with God. Now, here's something also interesting as well. Even as Jesus Christ is speaking to the disciples, and he is sharing with them that if you see me, you have seen the Father, and the things that I do in accordance to the will of my Father. He is working to please his Father in everything that he does and in every way that he does it. He is walking in the light of his Father. He looks like his Father. He talks like his Father. He serves like his Father. Now, yet Jesus Christ also allow us to know that even Satan, our adversary, can be revealed in us as well. And how was that? Still in John. Let's go to John 8. Let's take a look at John 8. Let's start in verse 37 of John 8. He says, "I know that you are Abraham's descendant, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do not, and you do what you have seen in accordance to your father." Verse 39, then they said to him, "Abraham is our father." Then Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham." You see, again, when it comes to our Father, how well do we know him? He says, if you are Abraham's children, then guess what? You will do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I have heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. You're doing the deeds of your father. Everything about you is reflecting the father. Which father are we talking about here? Now, again, going back, using the example of my kids, you know, I hear the comment all the time, your kids act just like you. They do. They do. The apple didn't fall far at all from the tree. It just kind of hung around, you know. And it's just kind of amazing to see that strong family resemblance in the way they talk, the way they act, and the things they do. And so that's a reflection of me and my family. Now, Christ is saying here, if you are Abraham's children, then you would do the works of Abraham. But he says, then you said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, that's God. What are you trying to say here? Jesus Christ said in verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father. We have God. Then verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, and for I proceed forth and come from God. Nor have I come for myself, but he who sent me. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? Because see, if you were of Abraham's seed, you would understand this, you would know this. But because you are not able to listen to my word, you are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do, which is to kill him. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. See, if you were Abraham's seed, then you should understand these things. You should know these things. But Christ is saying, because of your actions, your behavior, everything about you reflects your father, and that is Satan himself. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. We don't want to reflect this character within our lives. He said, but because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me, which convicts you of sin. And if you tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's word. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. You're not of God. That's why you don't understand. That's why you can't get it. You can't grasp this thing, because you're not of God. Your father that you are serving is the one who wants to seek and who wants to destroy me. Verse 48, then the Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and you have a demon? Well, now they're trying to say that Christ has a demon because of the things that he spoke to them. And Jesus answered them in verse 49, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I'm honoring my Father, and you are dishonoring me. So when we begin to talk about honor, Father's Day, do we honor our Father in the things that we do, in the things that we say? Are we reflecting his way of life before others? Or is there another father whose character is on display here? And this is what Jesus Christ is saying to them. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Verse 51, most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. He shall never see death. Then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Well, we're back to that again. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? They want to know. So Jesus continues on, and he answers them again. Verse 54, I hope that you notice the trend here. Jesus is constantly letting them know who he is and who his Father is. Verse 54, Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is of nothing. If I'm doing this for my own personal gain, then it's for nothing. It is my Father who honors me." You remember when Jesus went to John the Baptist and was baptized? You remember what happened after he was baptized? You remember how the heavens and the clouds begin to open up, and then you see this voice comes down and he says, "This is my Son, who I am well pleased. This is my Son, who I am well pleased." Where did they think this voice came from? They didn't have loudspeakers back then, you know, sitting around where someone could just make a statement. "Oh, who's that?" You know, I saw a commercial last week. It was funny. Just in the commercial, this mom, she was trying to figure out what they were going to do for the weekend. And this voice came from deep within the house saying, "Go to Dolly World. Go to Sevierville." And she looked around and she couldn't figure out where the voice was coming from. And so, again, she was sitting at the table trying to figure out what to do with the kids for this weekend. And the voice says, "Take them to Dolly World. Go to Sevierville." She says, "Well, I guess I'll take them to Dolly World." And then around the corner, here's this little guy with this little microphone with the speakers of the house. He put it in his deep voice, directing his mom to take them to Dolly World, to Sevierville. That didn't happen back then. This was the voice of God who looked down and said, "This is my Son who I am well pleased. I am pleased." Why? Because my Son is honoring me. Jesus answered, verse 54, Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is of nothing. If it's my Father, I'm sorry, it is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar just like you. But I do know him and keep his word." Jesus Christ is reflecting. He is on display here, the character of his Father. "I am my Father's Son. The work that I do is the work of my Father." Jesus Christ is honoring his Father. What about you and I today? Are we honoring God? Are we honoring him on a daily basis? Or have we forgotten to honor God? Christ goes on to say, "Before Abraham, I am." He was before Abraham. And yet, verse 59, "Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself, and he went out of the temple, going through the midst of them." And so he just went ahead and he passed by. How well, family, do we know our Father? In order to know him, we have to spend time with him. That's what I wanted to do with my biological father when I first met him. I wanted to spend time with him. I wanted to get to know him. But that never happened. And so yet, I have that opportunity, just like you do as well, to spend time with our Heavenly Father, our spiritual Father. How well do we know our Father? To know him, we have to do as Jesus Christ did. We have to walk with him. We have to talk to him. We have to know what is his will. And once he has revealed himself and his will to us, then we have to act upon those things, because now it's going to make us look a little quirky. It's going to make us look different from the rest of the world. And that's what he wants. That is exactly what he wants. Matthew 11, verse 25. Matthew 11, let's go and read verse 25. "At that time Jesus answered and said, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You have hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good to do in your sight. He acknowledges and he recognizes that the reason these things were hidden because it was of his Father's will and it was a good thing. Verse 27, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one whom the Son wills to reveal him. Jesus Christ came to reveal the Father to those of us who will believe. Who will believe and who will follow him. Verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, my yoke, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus Christ reveals the Father to those that he wills, those that who will listen to him, those that are going to truly follow him. And yet, the Jews sought to destroy him because of the things that he said. Mary and Joseph were angry and upset at a 12-year-old boy who was not with them when they left Jerusalem, only to go back and find him doing the will of his Father. And that will was not the will of his physical father, Joseph. It was the will of his spiritual father. 1 John 4. How well do you know your Father? How well do you know your Father? 1 John 4, and let's go down to verse 7. He says, beloved, let us love one another, for God is love. Do we know that our Heavenly Father loves us? Do we know that? Can we prove that? Do we believe that? God is love, and everyone he loves is born of God, and they know God. They know him. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Verse 9, in this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we may live through him, that we may have life through him, that we may have eternal life through him. Verse 10, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to atone for our sins. If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We are to love one another because God is love. The world has a problem with understanding that God is love. When they see all the tragedies and the things that are happening around them, they can't understand how a God that is supposed to be a God of love would allow so many things to happen and so many things to go wrong. Well, this is not God doing it. It is the world and the God of this world doing those things. The world has chosen who they want to serve. They have not chosen that they want to serve God. God has not revealed all things to them through his Son, Jesus Christ. Because remember, Christ says he will reveal the Father to those that he wills. And remember, no one can come to Christ unless the Father does what? Draws that individual. So everyone will not understand these things. And so we have to be careful and we have to show this same love of God and not be judgmental of the world because they don't know. It has not been revealed to them as it has been revealed to you and to me. We see the opportunity, family, to be able to serve others. That's what we are to do, to be a light, to be an example. You know, one day someone may come up to you and thank you. You know what a rotten person I was, but yet you love me anyway. You didn't judge me. You could have, but you didn't. Thank you. How would you feel? How would you take that compliment? Someone just walks up, and they know that you know. And yet, you still love me. Why? Because of God's love for all of us. He gave us his son. He gave us his son. Verse 12, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. Verse 13, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Holy Spirit. After we were baptized and hands were laid upon us and a prayer was prayed, the prayer was for God to give us of his Holy Spirit, so that he may dwell within us. Verse 14, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as a Savior of the world, not just of any particular group of people, of the world, the scriptures tell us. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed that the love of God, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. This is our Father we're talking about here. This is our Father. Do we reflect his way? Do we reflect his will? Do we reflect his character? Verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. You know, we're constantly being reminded, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God is going to work things out in our lives for us. It may not look like it at the moment, but he did not give us that spirit of fear. So we, at this point, have the opportunity to trust and believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that God loves us. He's going to be with us. You know, it doesn't say that we're not going to have trials and we're not going to have pains and we're not going to hurt, but he will see us through. What did Christ tell us? You know, to cast that burden upon him. Last verse, verse 20. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God who he has not seen? And this commandment we ought to have from him, that he who loves God must also love his brother. And it's not always easy loving your brother, whether it's your biological brother, whether it's your spiritual brother. We all have issues. But you know, God says, hey, love them. Love them. See, that's my character. You love them. You don't beat them down. You don't destroy them. You show love to them. Because I sent my son to die even for you and for them. So we have to show that love. That is the character of our Father. So, this year, for Father's Day, I hope that each one of you have the opportunity, if your physical father is still alive, that you will have the opportunity to go wish him a happy Father's Day and mean it. And if not, we do have our spiritual father that we must honor and show honor every day. Every day. We were commanded, family, to honor our father and our mother. The legal father of Jesus Christ has been revealed, and it is our heavenly father. Jesus Christ is his son that he sent into the world for you and for me to set the example, to show us the way. And when we read about certain things, our first reaction shouldn't be to judge what someone wrote, but take a look at it. There might be a little bit of truth in that, but maybe it was kind of skewed a little bit. And yet also you have to remember the truth was not revealed to many, as the scripture shows us. It's of the will of Jesus Christ. God has given him that authority and that ability to reveal and to show to all mankind the Father. Family, let us continue to live and reflect our Heavenly Father. Reflect His character. Reflect His ways. That is what is expected of you and for me. And maybe one day, and I believe it will happen, someone's going to walk up to you and say, thank you. You know what a rotten person I am, and yet you still love me. It might be a family member. Might even be your neighbor. And when they do that, you have honored your Father.